Who is Jesus? This is indeed a very big question. I know if I was going to talk about who is Jesus, I possibly would not be able to cover it in the time that I have now. And therefore, I have given you an insert. And if you look at that insert, it says the names and titles of Jesus Christ. I tell you, the whole living word, the whole Bible is of Jesus Christ. We have the Old Testament prophecies of the coming of the Messiah, of man's ingratitude to God, of man's sin. Some people say, why do we have to read the Old Testament? It's all about wars and everything. But it shows how man's failings and the promise of the Messiah. And then in the New Testament is the fulfillment of God's promise of the Messiah. And there I give you all the references. Not all of them. Some of you may have some others that you can add on to it. And there's of course the last one, the apocalyptic time titles of his second coming. Indeed, each reference here is a message in itself, which I will not have the time to go through with you. Sufficient it is, let us keep to our text that we have read in Matthew 16, verses 13 to 17. Who do men say that I am? It has come to the point when Jesus has begun to ask his disciples, who do you think that I am? Now they were here in Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi was a place known for pagan worship. There were lots of false gods. And you can see the surround that Jesus was when he was talking to the disciples. With all these pagans and everything else, which of all the false gods, even if we have it here today and amongst us. And he's saying, who am I? This is a perennial question. This question has gone on for ages and ages. For the over 2,000 years, people are still asking, who is Jesus? Some have some opinion of him. Some have another opinion of him. And he said, who do men say that I am? Now some of them say, he's the John the Baptist. Because of his preaching. They said he was some of the Baptist. You see, John the Baptist came preaching and Jesus came preaching. But let's hear what John says when he preached. John said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's in Matthew 3:2. But what did Jesus say in Mark 1:15? And Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. And the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. You see the two messages. John said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus came and said, the time is fulfilled. And the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. You see the New Testament, the fulfillment of that. John the Baptist was indeed a great preacher, but he was not a preacher like the Lord. No one could preach like the Lord. As it is reported in John 7:46, no man spoke like this man. For every time Jesus stood up to speak, he spoke only the word of God. For Jesus himself is the living word of God. In John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Indeed, he is the living Word. For man pointed to the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God, John said. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And then some said he was Elijah. Some said he was Elijah. But Elijah was a man of prayer. And when he prayed, he asked for rain and he asked for fire. And we read in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 38 to 39, let me read to you. And Elijah prayed and he said, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, "The Lord, he is the God, the Lord, he is the God." That is Elijah. But Jesus was a man of prayer. And when the angels came, when the disciples came to him, he said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And he taught them the Lord's Prayer. They had seen Jesus healing the sick. They had seen him preaching. And the thing that struck them so much was to emulate the prayer life of Jesus. So it is today we need to emulate the prayer life of Jesus in our lives. And then some said, he was Jeremiah. You see, Jeremiah was a man of heart. Jeremiah 9:1, he said, "Oh, that my head were waters, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughters of my people." Jeremiah was a man with a heart. Jesus, in the feeding of the 5,000, when he saw the crowds, he was filled with compassion. The Chinese word is Ta Lian Ming Taman. He was filled with compassion when he saw the crowds, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. I tell you, the Old Testament, it's a promise of the Messiah. The whole Testament points to the coming of the Messiah. And the New Testament, the Old Testament says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath appointed me to preach the good tidings. He has bind up the poor brokenhearted to produce liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound," in Isaiah 16:1. And what did Jesus say when he came? And we read in Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." You see the sayings in the Old Testament of Isaiah 16:1, and Jesus preaching in Luke 4:18. This is the living word. That this is the whole book is of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our personal Savior, your Savior, and my Savior. For we are only saved through grace, through faith in the one who accomplished by his life, his death, and his resurrection, so that we may receive salvation, reconciliation to God the Father, and we can look forward to eternal life. For the Bible, from the very first page to the very last, focuses on the person and work of Jesus Christ. It is all about Jesus. He is the end all and be all of our salvation, the very center of our lives. When the people came around and looked at Jesus, he was no ordinary person. They saw him as a man of compassion. They saw him as one who was moved with compassion when he saw the people. There's no comparison whatsoever. We see so much violence on television, on our newscasts. We see murder before our eyes, dead bodies thrown, people weeping. We become so desensitized. But Jesus cared. He saw hurting people. He saw grieving people. And his heart was broken with them. One day when he was at the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus wept. He was human, yet he was divine. Jesus cared. Jesus wept. Indeed, Jesus is no ordinary man. And when they asked him, and he said, "And we believe and are sure that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." You can take all the great men that you have and put them together, but there is no one that can stand in the place of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is unique. He is supreme. He is the name above every name. He is the one, the only one, who ever will be. For he is the name above every name. For in Acts 4:12 we read, "Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved." We can say amen to that. This is the perennial question that people begin to ask. And what did the disciples say? What did John say? In 1 John 4:14, 1 John chapter 4, verse 14. And we have seen and testified that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That is Jesus. The perennial question. But also it is secondly, a personal question. He said, who do men say that I am? Who do you say? Who do I say that he is? As John has said, we have seen and testified that he is the Son to be the Savior of the world. Some say he was a legend even to these days. Some people don't believe it. They say he's a legend. Some say he never existed. But I tell you, there is more evidence and more proof in the evidence of Jesus. If we read the last verses of John's Gospel, what did John say? John, the old man who was beloved of Jesus. And he said, and there are many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Some say he was not true. I tell you, there is so much evidence in this holy book. And some say, oh, he's only just a wonder man. I tell you, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. For he is our Savior. He is not a legend. He was human, but he was divine. And Jesus confronted Peter and said, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter said, you are Christ. Christ, the anointed one. You are the one that the Old Testament scriptures have predicted would come. You are the Lamb. You are everything that the Old Testament had said that the Messiah would be. You are the Son of the living God. Peter indeed spoke for all the disciples when he said in John 6:69, we have believed and know that thou art the Holy One of God. He wasn't speaking that Jesus was a saint or anything. He was ascribing to Jesus a unique perfection, a unique position in relation to God. You are the Son of the living God. This is also recorded in Matthew. It says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. This confession makes all the difference in our eternal destiny. Those who are willing to believe in Jesus Christ, who are willing to confess Him, This is a personal confession. Lord Christ, the Son of the living God, thirdly, it's a perennial question, it's a personal question, it's a providential question, a question that comes from God. It is by the grace of God and the goodness of God and the guidance of God that brings each one of us to this correct question. When a person is willing to confess Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, he puts themselves, himself, herself, in a position of blessing. For he is unique. As we read in Ephesians 1:2-3, grace to you and peace for God our Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Yes, this is God's blessings on us. When we believe in him, when we confess him as our personal Savior, for Jesus said, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you. Only Heavenly Father has done that. You see, this is the eternal plan of God, isn't it? How wonderful is that plan? It is beyond the comprehension, beyond the ability of man to understand God's plan. For 2,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, outside the little town of Bethlehem, out in the shepherd's field, a little humble handmaiden, Mary from Nazareth, gave birth to a child. And in that child cradle was a helpless baby. And that baby's name was Jesus. He became a man and he walked around the Sea of Galilee, went into Jerusalem and the villages round about. And he gave blind men sight. He saw deaf men, he let them hear. He saw the crippled, he caused them to walk. He saw dead men, he brought them to life. Yes, God brought into this world a babe in a cradle, and he continued on to the cross. In 6 hours he suffered on the cross like no man ever suffered. He carried the burden of guilt on his shoulders. In that 6 hours on the cross, the guilt of the world, the shame of the world, the misery and agony of the world was laid on the Lord Jesus Christ. For, as we read in 1 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be a sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is the divine revelation. The God revealed his plan. Our Father in heaven revealed his plan. He revealed his plan not only in a cradle and a cross, made true the gospel, the good news in our hearts. God has brought each one of us to worship Him, to give us an opportunity to believe in Him, that He is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart men believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is Jesus Christ, our personal Savior. Amen.